If you are going to go in deep space missions, suppose, you know, a mission to Mars, which would take about, you know, 3 years
right.
to start to finish, and very intense, you know, radiation, both cosmic radiation and ultraviolet radiation, that would, you know, really be a very big problem for the astronauts. So even though it looks like cataract is just a problem here on Earth, which is true, but at the same time, it is also a problem for the space travelers.
Cataracts clouds the eyes, but I'm not sure I exactly know what it is.
Well, you are right about that, that cataract is the clouding of the lens, and it is the leading cause of vision loss and blindness in the United States. And what causes the clouding is the clumping or the aggregation of the protein molecules in the lens of the eye. It affects about 22 million Americans aged 40 and older.
Wow.
And each year in the United States, they spend about $6.8 billion in direct medical costs. And this number is expected to go double in the next 20 to 30 years as the baby boomers age. And at present, there is no medical treatment for cataract except the surgical removal of the natural lens and its replacement with an intraocular implant. So it has been shown by the National Institute and NIH scientists that if there is a delay in cataract formation of about, say, 10 years, would reduce the prevalence of visually disabling cataracts by about 45%. So this will save enormous sum of money spent on Medicare. So the key to this problem is the very early detection and ability to monitor the efficacy of therapeutics or medications. And that's where I come into play when our technology is really helpful in this regard, as it is three orders of magnitude more sensitive than the current methods for cataract detection. Therefore, the ability of this device to detect cataract formation very early could lessen the need of surgery for patients facing vision loss or impairment through early treatment with medications and some lifestyle changes.
So this is essentially, it's an eye scanning technology, is that what it is?
The eye scanning part does other things as well, in which, you know, we are also looking at diseases such as Alzheimer's and diabetes.
Hmm.
In the humans. This particular development that we are talking about, the cataract, looks in the lens of the eye, and it can go, you know, from anterior to posterior, so you could call that as a scanning device.
Then there's a procedure that folks can do, or you identify it, and then people can take steps to reduce the impact of the cataracts.
That is correct. In fact, we are now, the folks, my colleagues at National Eye Institute, NIH, clinicians at Wilmer Eye Institute at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore and a couple other places, they are now using this to study several different type of patients from vitrectomy to cataract to diabetics and Alzheimer patients and see, you know, what they can learn to use, you know, some heavy-duty antioxidants. In fact, we are now talking to some folks in the Navy and at NASA, some of my flight surgeon colleagues there have identified a very powerful antioxidant, which they believe, you know, they can use it to protect, you know, people from developing these kind of, you know, the disease. And now we are just getting ready, you know, to use that for space flight, you know, the situations. And if that works, then that could be really very useful right here on Earth.
Previous types looking at this would essentially use probes. Is that visual imaging? And this almost assesses protein changes. Is that right?
That is correct. So what, you know, the current state of the art in the field or in the clinical realm is they use photographic techniques. They use slit lamp cameras, shine fluke cameras, and other type of retroillumination cameras in which they take photographs and pictures of the lens, in which if there is opacity or clouding of the lens, which has shown, you know, at a later stage, it will show as haziness in the pictures. They would, you know, look at that haziness and they would convert that into certain numbers and they would say, okay, well, this is where the cataract, you know, looks like. But that is very late in the game.
Right.
What we do is
almost too late to actually do anything about it.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So we have developed this non-invasive miniaturized laser probe, which is a size of a dime, and that, you know, finds very early warning signs of cataract, and as well as, you know, some other diseases such as Alzheimer's and diabetes in humans. And so in that way, this is about three orders of magnitude more sensitive than anything else out there right now.
I have to ask you, because this seems to make the link between sometimes people say, oh, we're spending all this money sending men out into space. This is probably something that you wouldn't have come across if people weren't out in space in some form or fashion.
Well, that is correct. In fact, NASA is a very unique, you know, organization, if you think about that. And space travel is really amazingly complex. And at the same time, you know, it's very challenging because you are dealing, you know, with environment, which is very hostile to
right.
human situation. You know, radiation is one thing. Zero gravity, which changes the physiology of the body, is the other thing. And therefore, all the organs in the body do change, you know, whether it's heart or muscles or bone loss or eyes. I mean, everything has an effect from a space flight. So the space flight really accelerates the aging process in astronauts. And why it does that? Because the release of reactive oxygen species, we have seen that the oxidative stress is there during this, you know, space flight. And if you are accelerating the aging process, so it is exactly the same problems that people face here on Earth as they age, except it is aging faster. So if you have a handle on that, you know, from a space program, just imagine the impact of that, you know, you are bringing back to Earth and helping, you know, the millions and billions of people right here on this planet.
Mm. You're out in Ohio, and so often when you talk to people, they think innovation and government, that those two things are impossible to do with one another. How do you be innovative in government?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, just imagine this, you know, for example, NASA has, you know, put man on the moon 40 years ago, right? I mean, like nobody else so far has, you know, matched that event. So we do, you know, difficult things, challenging things, and we really succeed in doing things. So doing all of that really requires innovation. And you cannot do it without innovative technologies, without, you know, the very hard, you know, working environment. And so this is a very unique place, I would say. And this is just one example of several, you know, NASA technologies, which has shown that there are numerous examples of NASA spin-off technologies for medical and other uses here on Earth as well. So NASA has a stellar record of achievements when it comes to really research and development and exploration of space. So as you said, innovation and space travel goes hand in hand. I mean, there is really, it's not one or the other.